The following message is presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Now the message.
About a year ago, it was actually on Mother's Day, and it was probably one of the worst like Mother's Day messages when you think about like the context or the scripture that we shared. It was Proverbs chapter 14:4, and it says this: without an ox, a stable stays clean, but you need ox for a large harvest. And we talked about how the idea is this, is that life is sometimes messy. And it's not good, and it's not clean, and it's not pleasant. But in that, there's beauty in the mess. And it was this really simple verse, right? I mean, how many of you guys need to know that where cows and ox are, there's other things that are messy? Yeah, I mean, you know, kind of common sense, right? And then a couple weeks ago, we talked about, and I brought Bubby up here, and he did an awesome job. Bubby and David did an awesome job of chopping wood. And we talked about this verse from Ecclesiastes: if your axe is dull, it requires you to sharpen your edge. But if you're, and you must exert more strength. Wisdom has the advantage of giving success. We talked about how a lot of us are fighting battles, and we're trying to take down these trees in our life, but we're using dull axes, and wisdom, and godly wisdom, gives us the ability to sharpen our axe. And again, it was a really simple statement, right? I mean, dull axe, more work. Sharp axe, less work, right? I got another one for you guys, all right? It's in James chapter 3. It says this: can both fresh water and salt water come from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine bear figs? Neither can salt springs produce fresh water. Thank you so much for coming to church today. I mean, you know, like, how many of you needed to come to church to hear that? It seems so simple, isn't it? Salt water can't come from a freshwater spring. Spring water can't come from a salt spring. The trees. A fig tree can't produce olives, and an olive tree can't produce grapes. Thank you, James and John. That makes so much sense, but nobody needed to tell us that. You kind of knew that, right? But then again, as I look through, this is one of those simple, but it's super profound, because as you start to dig through the layers of this verse, it means so much more, and there's so much more to it than just the surface level. It's so simple, but it's so profound. The very first thing that I noticed is this: it's not just that the waters are different, it's that their source is different. And so in the process of this week, I did a bunch of reading about what it takes to have salt springs and freshwater springs. And there's two ways that you can have saltwater springs, which is actually a real thing. The first is you're by an ocean. Now, anybody who knows this is like, I know you're out of school, but like, this is geology or some earth science. I don't know. Earth science. Okay, that's as far as they'd let me go. But like, this is earth science. If you're close to the ocean, what happens is the salt water goes to a deeper aquifer, and the salt spring actually comes from that deeper aquifer, and it makes its way to the ground, and that's a saltwater spring that's by an ocean. Geologists found out later, though, that there are other salt springs, and what happens with them is it's the aquifer that you and I would drink water out of, but where there is pressure, it comes up through a mineral source, and that mineral source, such as salt, makes the spring salty on the surface. Now, all that to say, here's what that means for you and I. In Scripture, multiple times, Jesus says this. He tells the woman at the well, I'm living water. He tells the people, I'm the bread of life. He tells people in John 8, I'm the light of the world. Paul tells us in Ephesians that God is over all, through all, and in all. As a Christian in our life, God must be the source of our life. Would you agree with that statement? Again, really simple, right? But it was interesting to me, because what I found in reading and in doing all this research about salt springs and water springs is this. Yeah, there are some springs that are sourced by different sources, right? One's deep water reservoirs by the ocean. But it was that other one that came up through the minerals. And it got me thinking about our life. And it's interesting because it starts with that same good, clean water. But then as it comes up through the minerals, what happens to it? It becomes bitter. It becomes salty. See, Christians, I think that there's two types of people in the world. Don't you love when people say that? There's two types of people in the world. There are those who come from a completely different source. Your friends who are out there in the world, don't expect them to live by the same standard that you live. Why? Because they come from a completely different source. But then you have your source, which is found in Christ, and you find your life and your meaning and your purpose and your identity and everything in Christ. But then what happens if we're not careful is this, is as we start to come to the surface, we let all that stuff on the outside kind of corrupt us, don't we? And as we pass through the world, what happens to us? Man, all of a sudden we start to take on some of their saltiness. And it changes who we are. So my question for you is, what is the source of your life? As a follower of Christ, that's the very first thing I noticed when I looked at this verse and I saw that it, salt water and fresh water can't come from the same thing. Is it made me ask, what's the source of my life and what outside influences am I letting change who I am? Kelsey and I were laughing last night. I told her, I said, I can't eat dinner with our family anymore. Because dinner time for me is that, man, that's my, like, my blood pressure jumps about 600 points at dinner time. Because I've got Evie, who is the most creative eater I've ever seen, because she wants to put everything on something and then smear it on her head, and then some of it trickles down into her mouth. Nora, who I love Nora, and Nora eats good, but Nora can't sit still. Nora has to dance while she eats. Yeah, any dancers while they eat? I guess she's burning calories while she's eating. It's good. And then Charlotte just refuses to eat. So she just looks at me and I say, Charlotte, let's eat. No. Charlotte, please eat. No. And man, like I can just feel it. Like my blood pressure just goes through the roof. And what happens is I let outside influences determine my dinner experience. I get so mad at Kelsey. Because Kelsey just sits there and she eats and she smiles and she laughs and she talks about their day. And I'm like, they're making a mess and they're not eating their food. This is not okay. I let outside influences determine a lot more about me than I want to. And that's a silly illustration, but man, it happens all the time in our lives, doesn't it? We're around those people, and when we're around those people, who we are is different. And our water changes. The second thing is when he talks about fig trees and olive trees, he says, our brothers and sisters, fig trees can't produce olives, and olives can't, and grapes can't produce figs. It got me thinking that all those things are interesting, because if I were to bring a fig up here and I were to bring an olive and I were to bring a grape, would you say they look similar? Y'all, listen, this is a free prank for next year for I don't know, whenever you do pranks. If you take an apple and dip it in caramel, and you take an onion and you dip it in caramel, people can't tell the difference until they bite into it. Just, that's a game for you in youth one day, Randy. But if I were to have those three things up here, if I were to have a fig, an olive, and a grape, how many of you would be able to, like, easily identify which one was which from, like, all the way back here? Because they look somewhat similar, right? See, the other thing that this tells me is that a lot of times from a distance, things look good. But up close, things look a little different, don't they? Don't you love living in the social media world where everything looks perfect? I stopped posting pictures on social media because I don't have the right angle, apparently. You know there's an angle you're supposed to take pictures of, and it's got to have certain lighting. I'm not good at any of that. And it's funny because all the pictures that we see online look perfect, don't they? And from a distance, everyone's life looks perfect. But I think up close, things look a little different. That's why examination is so important. And so important in Psalms, David tells us to examine or ask God to examine him, try him and test his mind to see if there's any wrong way in him. Paul tells us in Corinthians to examine ourselves to see if our faith is genuine. Jesus, when he's talking to the religious leaders and the Pharisees, he tells them that their lives, their faith is like whitewashed tombs. It looks really good on the outside, but it's full of death. See, when I read that verse, what it tells me is this, is that anybody can make their life look good from a distance. But it's upon closer examination is when the truth really comes out. This morning, I wonder how many of you guys, you have a great looking life from a distance. But as people start to peel back and as we start to unveil layers and as the Holy Spirit starts to work on your life, what would he find? What's your life look like up close? And you say, well, John, this is all pointless because if you read context of that scripture, none of this really applies because that scripture is all about your speech. You're right. If you go back and you read James chapter 3, verses 9 through 10, it says this, with the tongue we praise our Lord and Father, and with it we curse human beings who have been made in the likeness of God. Out of the same mouth come praise and cursing. My brothers and sisters, this should not be. And he would continue in verse 11 and say, can both fresh and salt water come from the same spring? My brothers and sisters, can a fig tree bear olives or a grapevine figs? Neither can salt water springs produce fresh water. So when you read it in context, it's all about our speech. And you can say, well, I don't use bad language that much. When I was in high school, this was the verse to teach that you don't cuss. I have a long history. Can I tell you guys my first cuss word experience? I was young. I don't know how old I was, but it was my mom and dad's anniversary, and I was trying to give them a frog because that's what every parent wants for an anniversary is a frog. And so I was chasing a frog through the house, and I don't remember why I was chasing a frog through the house other than I was trying to catch him. I don't know why he was in the house either. But all I remember is I said something, and it wasn't good. My mom said, don't say that. I said, oh, okay. Well, sure enough, that frog got away from me again, and so I said something else. And at that point, my mom went ballistic on me, spanked me and everything like that. And she's like, where did you learn that? And I really don't know like where I learned it. It was something that came out, and it was like, but then all through high school, I learned from this verse, and all through like growing up, I learned from this verse that like you can't curse, you shouldn't cuss, because fresh water and salt water can't come out of the same spring. Okay, but that's not what this verse is talking about at all. See, it's talking about your speech, it's talking about your words, but it's more important than your words. It's the intention of your words. See, over in Luke, Jesus says this, a good person produces good things from the good treasures that are stored up in their heart, but an evil person produces evil things from the treasures stored in their heart. What you say flows from what's in your heart. See, I think the reality is a lot of us have divided hearts. And the proof is in what we say. He said, well, again, John, I don't use bad language. I don't cuss that much. Again, that's not what James is talking about. Go back and read it again. It's not the words. It's the intention of the words. He talks about how if blessing and cursing should come out of the same mouth, in things we praise God our Father, but we also curse human beings who are made in his likeness. Out of the same mouth come blessing and curse. This shouldn't be. I went back and I looked at those words, blessing and cursing, and blessing is obvious. Blessing means praise, adoration. It means to lift up, to build up somebody. But cursing means to speak down, to belittle, to inflict harm with your words. See, I think a lot of us, we like this verse when it talks about just cuss words, right? Because I can say cheese balls, or I can find some other word to say in there in place of that other word that I learned. But what about your speech when you're talking about people? What about your speech when you leave the doors of this church and somebody had on that dress again? That pastor had on that stupid jacket. Why did he wear that thing? You can't wear white before Labor Day or after, what is it? Memorial Day. Doesn't he know the rules? And all of a sudden, everything that comes out of your mouth is meant to belittle and tear down other people. See, it's not your words. It's not what you say. It's the meaning, the intention behind your words. And so as a Christian, it begs me to question, what are your words? What you say revealing about your heart? It says that what's inside finds its way out through your words. And again, it's not just cuss words. It's what you say. It's how the intended words are meant to come out of your mouth. Are you using those things to bless people, to build people up? Or is everything that comes out of your mouth tearing down and hurting other people? All that from two verses about spring water and figs. It's simple, but it's profound. So then the question becomes, well, all right, let's say I do have a divided heart, John. Maybe this is me. Maybe this saltwater spring, it's me, it's happening, it's real. What do I do about it? There's this passage in Proverbs, and the writer writes this. Psalms chapter 4, verses 23 through 27. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversities. Keep corrupt talk from your lips. Let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you. Give careful thought to your paths, for your feet will be steadfast in all your ways. Do not turn to the right or to the left, and keep your foot from evil. Now, in that, if you're looking in your notes or if you're looking on the screens, there are certain things that are underlined, because this is, to me, the practical way to keep your heart from being divided. The first thing you and I have to do is we have to guard our heart. What does that mean, to guard your heart? It means this. It means that your heart has every issue of life flowing out of it. That's what the scripture says. So, man, you've got to protect what comes around your heart. You say, well, yeah, but how do I do that? Well, the first thing is you have to ask God to help you protect your heart. The second thing you have to do is this. You have to determine what things you're going to let influence you. When you start to care more about what other people out there think than what he thinks, you're setting yourself up to have your heart hurt. See, we worry so much and we care so much about other people, and when we get hurt, and because we get hurt, we in turn try to hurt other people because we haven't protected our heart, because we've been careless, we've been loose with our heart, and we've let other people determine and dictate what gets close to our heart. The second thing he says is, to keep your mouth free from perversity. We've got to watch what we do, what we say. You ever get into a conversation with somebody and all of a sudden you're telling them way more things? I love flying and talking to people on a plane, because I will tell a person on a plane every single dark thing I've ever done. I'm never going to see this person again. Who cares? You want to know how bad I am? Sit next to me on a plane. I'll tell you everything. I'm never going to see him again. It doesn't matter. But what's crazy is when I do that, I realize, oh my goodness, man, I'm being so negative. Everything that's coming out of my mouth is so negative. I told you guys last week on Mother's Day, if you ever want to have some fun, have your kids imitate you. Ask your kids what you always say. Watch what comes out of your mouth. It's an indicator of what's going on in your heart. If everything that comes out is negative, is tearing down, is belittling, is meant to hurt other people, then what you have to understand is that you haven't been careful. Your heart has been hurt, and therefore what's coming out of your heart is negative. The next thing he says is to let your eyes look straight ahead, fix your gaze in a fixed direction. It's the idea to determine your course. Anybody know somebody with ADD, ADHD? You ever have a private conversation with that person? What? All day long, man, right here. We'll be talking about something, and all of a sudden I'm like, hey, you remember 6 years ago when this happened? And Kelsey's like, where in left field did that come? What are you talking about? It's because sometimes, like, I haven't determined in my head the purpose of the conversation. See, in life, a lot of us live an ADHD life in our spiritual sense because we haven't determined where we're going. What we do is this, is we start to walk and we say, oh man, things are good. I'm going to walk with God. I'm going to follow after Jesus. Things are good right now. And we start to walk down and all of a sudden, ooh, that's pretty. Oh wait, I got to get back to following Jesus. I'm going to be there. Oh man, that looks like fun. I'm going to get there. Oh no, wait, this one's going this way now. I like this. Before long, man, our life is everywhere because we haven't set and determined in our mind that this is what we're going to do. See, a lot of us, we can laugh about having divided hearts, but the biggest reason you have a divided heart is simply because you haven't determined that you want something different. You've still got it in your mind that you can live a little bit this way and a little bit that way and somehow turn out all right. Next, Solomon tells us, give careful thought to your path. It's the idea to examine what you do. Church, how important, and again, Wednesday night we talked about this. I love Wednesday night Bible studies. Man, if you're not coming, you're missing out. We talked about how everything we do is so important, and it has in it the ability to glorify God. Every single step you take in your life has the ability to glorify God. I wonder how many of us think about that before every step we take. Every phone conversation, every text message you send, every word you say, every hand you shake, every high five you give, every hug, every single thing you do has an eternal impact if you let it. I wonder how many of us examine that closely everything we do. The last thing he tells us is this: don't turn to your right or your left. You've got to guard, you've got to insulate, you've got to watch to see how you're doing from time to time, because every once in a while, all of us get pulled in different directions. And so after you guard, you've got to continue to watch what comes out of your life, because it's going to be an indicator of what's going on the inside. We have to determine, we have to set our course, we have to examine ourselves in every single step we take. And then once we do that, we have to decide we're not going to turn away from this. We're going to stay the course. When things get difficult, when things get hard, when it goes differently than I want to, when that person really ticks me off and I want everything inside just to come out on and spill out on this person that calls me to ask me about my car insurance or my car warranty that I didn't have for my car. And I just want everything to spill out and just let every unholy thing I've ever thought come out on that person. I've got to say, what's my course? Am I staying true to where I think I want to go, where I'm supposed to go, where I know I want to be? If you do these five things, it will help you from having a divided heart. You don't want to have it. If you don't have a divided heart, then guess what? That source of water that's in your life is going to be sweet. It's not going to be corrupted with salt. You're going to have one kind of fig or one kind of olive or one kind of tree producing one kind of fruit, and it's going to be good fruit that glorifies God. And the confusion that James talks about over in James chapter 3 isn't going to be a part of our life. And one simple verse can have a profound impact on the way you live your life once you decide that you're not going to have a divided heart. So this morning, I don't know where you are. I don't know if you have a divided heart. I don't know if this is really all that profound to you at all or not. But I think this. I think that there are a lot of us who just wish that verse would stay simple. Because the more layers you start to peel back and the more you start to look at it, the more the Holy Spirit starts to say, hey, listen, that's you. That's what it did with me. The more I dug into this, the more I was like, man, why can't it just be simple? Salt and fresh water. I like the ocean. I like lakes. Great. Let's move on, James. See, it's about way more than that. Because it's about your walk with Christ. So So this morning, my prayer for you is this, is that you wouldn't have a divided heart, that you would take the steps necessary, to take the steps needed to protect your heart, to guard your heart, and to make sure that what comes out of your heart is glorifying and pleasing to God. It's uplifting and encouraging to others around you. And it's pointing people constantly in a direction that causes them to see the good in you and glorify God in heaven. God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for these individuals. I thank you for this time to come, Father, to worship you. Lord, I thank you for simple verses in Scripture. God, they're so simple that we can all understand them, but unfortunately, because we can all understand them, it raises the accountability also. Because God, while they may be verses that we understand, they're also verses that are deeply profound because they expose some of the worst areas in our life. God, I pray for the one that walked in this church this morning and God, they were just hoping to come in and get out and have a good time. But Lord, as your word was read, you stirred in their heart. Father, they've been living with a divided heart. God, they've been trying to make fresh and salt water come out of the same source. Father, my prayer for them is that during this time, as we worship you, they would do business with you. God, that they would set their course, they would guard their heart, they would be intentional about the life that they're going to live, and God, that they would move in a direction that glorifies you, and that from this day, God, that they could write it down, from this day forward, I no longer had a divided heart. Father, for those that are in this room that are struggling with other decisions, there are other things in their minds and their hearts, I pray that as we worship you, you would do business, and God, you would take care of only what you can through the power of your Holy Spirit. Father, that we would be obedient to whatever you're calling us to do. Lord, I pray that you would just work now. And Father, we love you. We thank you for what you're going to do in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by Mooringsport Baptist Church in Mooringsport, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, please go to our website, www.mooringsportbaptistchurch.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.